Good morning and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of ministering God's word on this auspicious occasion. Our reading this morning is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and by the way, I'm reading in the New International Version. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, which was the greatest man amongst the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Then we go to chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 16 to verse 19. And Caleb said, "I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer." Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him in marriage. One day when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When he got off the donkey, Caleb asked her, "What can I do for you?" She replied, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. Thus far, the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us turn our thoughts to God in prayer. Father, we thank you that this is your word, and we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable unto you, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Amen. Psalm 90 verse 10 tells us, the length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Have you sometimes, like me, considered until what age you're going to live? Will we see old age? How will we look? I sometimes wonder whether I will have nice white hair or be bald like some of you, or as they say, blessed. But let's be realistic. Unless God chooses to take us home early in life, We must all go the way of old age or senior citizenship, as some would prefer to call it. As I pondered on what to share on this special occasion, I felt led to look at the life of Caleb, as referred to in our scripture reading this morning. One theologian says, and I quote, "Beginning well is a momentary thing. Finishing well is a lifelong thing. Beginning well is a momentary thing, but finishing well is a lifelong thing." And the Word of God this morning provides us with examples of God's servants who finished well. And that, in fact, is the theme this morning of our sermon, Caleb's life, an example of finishing well. Let's look then at some of the qualities in his life that led to him finishing well. First of all, I want you to notice that Caleb's faith never wavered. His faith in God never wavered, and we'll find that in verse 6 to 10 of chapter 14 of Joshua. And from our reading, we need to go back 45 years to that tragic day in the history of Israel, excuse me, as recorded in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. You would recall that after 1 year in the wilderness, the Israelites reached the promised land. You would recall that when they landed in near the promised land, Moses sent out 12 men, one from each of the tribes. And every one of those 12 spies was sent to spy out different parts of the promised land. Now, after 6 weeks in the promised land on a tour of inspection, the spies bring back two reports. There was the majority report, and there was the minority report. The majority report, that was the 10 spies, admitted that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But they spoke with great fear about the giants in the land. In Numbers 13 and verse 28, it says, "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there." This was the report of the 10. The minority report, that is the report of two spies by the names of Caleb and Joshua, admitted the existence of giants. They said, "Yes, there are giants there," but they believed God. Listen what they said in Numbers 14 and verse 8. "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us." They had seen all that the majority had seen, but with this difference. The majority measured the giants against their own strength. Caleb and Joshua measured the giants against God. The majority trembled. Caleb and Joshua triumphed. The majority had great giants, but a little God. Caleb and Joshua had a great God and little giants. And in Numbers 14, where they said, "If the Lord is pleased with us," was not an if of doubt, but an if of humility. And as Caleb and Joshua said it, they looked back over the wilderness journey. That journey which had lasted 1 year. Caleb recalled the day when they were brought out of Egypt by the power of the blood of the Lamb, and we all know about the Passover. Caleb remembered the sure leading of the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. That's how God led them. Caleb knew that the Lord delighted in his people and could therefore say therefore we are able to overcome. In contrast, the cry of the people was, let us go back to Egypt. They forgot its bondage. They, because of fear, difficulties, and troubles, wanted an easy trip, and we are told that they dishonored God. And as a result, and what a result, God made it perfectly clear and perfectly plain that the land of blessing could only be inherited by faith and obedience. And so they went to the vote. Moses put it to the vote and said, those in favor of the report of the 10 spies and who are not willing to go in, indicate. And then he said, those who are in favor of the report of Joshua and Caleb, put your hands up and let's vote. And guess what? The majority voted not to go into the promised land. And as a result, an entire generation refused to go into the promised land, except two people, Caleb and Joshua. Now listen what it says here, Numbers 14, verse 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Now you know what? Caleb treasured that promise in his heart. During 40 years in the wilderness, and during the weary wandering, the continual conflict, and the unfulfilled hopes, Caleb took God at his word. Isn't that what faith is all about? Taking God at his word. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. And despite all the murmurings of the people, Caleb was determined to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. He refused to rebel against Moses. He was never found amongst the grumblers. He was never found among the skeptical and the unbelieving. He was never found amongst the people who craved once more for the food of Egypt. He was never found among those who disobeyed God. He was never found among the people who turned to idol worship. Caleb caught a glimpse of the reward of obedience, and that was sufficient to keep him through for the rest of his life, and until God fulfilled his promise, as recorded here in Joshua chapter 14. Can you imagine the ecstasy when at 85 years of age, in all the maturity of godly character, Caleb steps out of the ranks alone, the only one of his peer group and generation. He never bowed down to peer group pressure. He had gone through many difficulties. Many times he was tempted by the crowds to pull back. They did everything to dissuade him, but no go. He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Sounds like everyday life, does it not? I don't know how many of us will ever live to see 85, but I long that if ever I come to that phase of life, that I will have a faith like Caleb's. A faith based on the unshakable conviction that the Lord delights in me. And does the Lord not delight in us? Look back at Calvary's cross. God has shown his love toward us beyond all doubt, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No matter how dark and lonely the way, God loves his people. And Caleb discovered that. We know that at the end of the journey, the reward will be ours. And that through faith and patience, we shall inherit the promises of God. God is not a man that he should lie. And Caleb waited 45 years for God's promise to him to be fulfilled. But you know, very often our faith wavers. How we shrink from the battle of life. We are not always on the alert. We are not always looking to Jesus. How some, and God forgive them, even long again for Egypt, back to bondage. We were far better off in Egypt, said most of the Israelites. And people today say, you know what, we were far better off in the world, because in the world there are no hypocrites. How often have we not been discouraged in our struggle to go on with God? How often don't we grumble that the Christian life is too hard, too costly, too demanding? And how often have we not been tempted to complain and give up? Caleb's faith in God never wavered. But that brings me to the second thing I'd like to share with you. And that is that Caleb's strength never weakened. And you find that in Joshua 14, verse 11 to 12. Verse 14 is an amazing verse. And listen what Caleb says here. In the latter part of verse 10 and verse 11, he says, "So here I am today, 85 years old. I am as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." What an amazing, amazing statement. A faith that never wavered enabled him to lay hold of a strength that never weakened. The power of God himself sustained Caleb. No human energy could suffice for all the trials of the way. Yet this man could toil and fight and exhaust himself and still be full of the strength of God. You recall the verse in the Bible, "Though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." And if any man could say that, it was Caleb. Yes, we stay young, even in the struggles of life, as we trust God and rely on His power. Our bodies may get old, but we can remain young at heart. What a nice way to end our earthly life. Strong, courageous, assured, bold in the faith, and be able to say like Paul in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Yes, at 85, Caleb was not too old to enjoy his inheritance. He was still as capable as he was as a spy under Moses. Some of you might have heard of Mark Twain, the man who wrote The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Listen what Mark Twain said. He said, "Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter." See, minds one, this verse and this text in verse 11 reminds one of Isaiah 40 and verse 28 to 31. And this is what it says. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So, we saw that Caleb's faith in God never wavered. We saw that Caleb's strength never weakened. But thirdly, notice that Caleb's reward was complete victory. And you find that in Joshua 14, verse 13 to 15. At 85, Caleb was not too old to enjoy his inheritance. And you know what inheritance was given to him? The very place that he spied out when he was sent to spy in the promised land. God gave him Hebron. And you know, Hebron was the place where Abram moved to when God said, "Move, I'm sending you to a place where I want you to be." And it was at Hebron where Abram pitched his tent and spoke to God face to face. It was at Hebron where God made a covenant with Abram. It was at Hebron where God said to Abram, "And I will make you into a great nation. And many nations will be blessed because of you." All that happened at Hebron. And furthermore, we discover that from Joshua 15 and verse 14, that of all the people who received an inheritance in the land, and the whole of chapter 14 and 15 deals with the allotment of the land to different tribes and so on. And we discover in Joshua 15 verse 14, of all the people who received an inheritance in the land, only Caleb, that in his old age, succeeded in expelling the enemy. The others made poor headway, and the last part of the book of Joshua makes very sad reading. For over and over again we read, they were not able to drive them out. The chariots of iron were too strong for them, but Caleb drove out all the enemy, although there were three giants in the land that was given to him. The man who wholly followed the Lord was the only one who was wholly victorious in the fight. Let me repeat, the man who wholly followed the Lord was the only one who was wholly victorious in the fight. Complete commitment leads to complete victory. Look at the example of Jesus. His earthly commitment led to heavenly victory. Absolute victory is achieved only in response to absolute obedience. And it's interesting to note that because of this experience, Caleb did not expect to receive his inheritance without exerting or involving himself. He wanted nothing that he did not personally earn. It is true that significant things can be accomplished in later years. Did you know that at age 82, Winston Churchill wrote a book, A History of the English-Speaking Peoples? At 89, Albert Schweitzer headed up a hospital in Africa. And yes, at 85, Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord, and he completely drove out the enemy. One commentator says, and I quote, "The way Caleb lived his long and fruitful life proves that aging is not a matter of arteries, but attitudes. Our attitudes are more important than our aging arteries." Food for thought. Caleb's faith never wavered. Caleb's strength never weakened. Caleb's reward was complete victory. But note, fourthly, that Caleb's blessing never went to waste. And we find that in Joshua 15 and verse 13 to 19. In those verses, we are told, that Caleb had something to spare for his daughter and her husband. He was able to distribute some of the inheritance God had given to him and to give this newly wedded couple as they set out together in life. And as we read, we told that he gave them the upper and the lower springs. The blessing of his life overflowed to others and even influenced his family members. And you know what? His son-in-law, Othniel, mentioned in chapter 15 and verse 17, became the first judge in Israel, as recorded in the book of Judges. What a nice story. Yes, my friend, a person who wholly follows the Lord, who wholeheartedly follows the Lord, who takes God at His word and obeys Him, is laying up a good heritage for himself and his children. How young parents, prospective parents, need to note that. Don't older parents long that the blessing of their lives will overflow to others? I'm sure they do. And don't measure blessing by worldly standards. As we conclude, and as I went through this man's life, I said, Lord, you know what? I would like to be like that. What a thrill to go into old age with radiance and ability and the ability to draw from our experience of the grace of God and to pass on some of the overflow of our blessings to others. What was Caleb's secret? Well, you'll find that in chapter 14 and verse 8, verse 9, and verse 14. You'll also find that in Numbers 14, verse 24, and Numbers 32, verse 11 to 12, and Deuteronomy 1, verse 36, all on the screen. And you know what? They all say the same thing. They say, and Caleb followed, served the Lord his God wholeheartedly. He served the Lord wholeheartedly. And as a result, his faith never wavered. His strength never weakened. His reward was complete victory. His blessing never went to waste. Many of us also have spiritual children. Children that we spiritually mentor and who see us as their spiritual father or mother. Yes, we can share even what God blessed us with. With them. And so this morning, note Caleb's secret. Caleb served the Lord his God wholeheartedly. Notice there what it says in verse 14. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since. Why? Because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. My friend, this was Noah's secret. This was Moses' secret. This was Abram's secret. This was Daniel's secret. This was Gideon's secret. This was Jesus' secret. This was Paul's secret. And I can go on and on. And it is still God's remedy today for finishing well, for finishing strong, for a radiant old age or retirement, and that after enduring the trials of life. Serve the Lord your God wholeheartedly. Is this not what Jesus taught us in what he referred to as the great commandment? And remember, when he was asked what was the great commandment, how did he respond? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Oh, you can find that in Mark 12, 28 to 31, and Matthew 22, 34 to 40. And I need to ask you this morning, what is your level of commitment? Are you serving God wholeheartedly, half-heartedly, or partly? You know, often we sing, I surrender all, then we are not even offering half of our lives to God. Is our commitment wholehearted? Is our service wholehearted? Is our giving wholehearted? God knows, and you know. Why not this morning renew your commitment to God and say, God, I want to be like Caleb. I want to be like Jesus. I want to serve you wholeheartedly. Young parents, middle-aged parents, senior parents, you can lay up a good heritage for your children. Make a worthwhile spiritual investment now, today. You know, we're often told that you need to join a pension fund when you are young and not when you are old. And I want to challenge you to make a spiritual investment while you are young. You heard it earlier said that Eric was 12 years old when he gave his life to Jesus. So was I 12 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. When we wholeheartedly serve the Lord, you know what's going to happen? God will be glorified, others will be edified, and we will be satisfied. So Hebron, verse 14, has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Now, what does this have to do with Sue and Eric LaRue? Well, let me say that in the light of all that you heard about them this morning, we can say and conclude that Eric and Sue served the Lord wholeheartedly. 52 years at Claremont Baptist, over 20 years active involvement in the Western Province Baptist Association and the Baptist Union of Southern Africa. Attendance at many Baptist Union assemblies. Committed to God, loyal to the Baptist family, and fat servants of God. Ah, that sounds strange. Fat servants of God. And that is an acronym. FAT. F, faithful. A, available. T, teachable. That's how we have come, many of us have come to know them. As faithful servants of God, always available. When called upon, teachable. To Eric and Sue, we want to say thank you for your example, and like Caleb, remain strong in the Lord and His mighty power, as Paul calls us to be in Ephesians 6 verse 10. And I want to say to Eric and Sue, we never retire in our service for the Master. Someone has said, retirement is not the end of the road. but the opening of the highway to new opportunities to serve God. The theologian John Piper has actually written a book which is worth reading, Rethinking Retirement. We finally retire the day Jesus calls us. While He's given us life and health and breath, we will work the works of Him who sent us. The night will come where we cannot work for God anymore. To the children and the grandchildren, I want to say, your parents and grandparents have made you proud and are leaving you with a great legacy and an example that is worthy of imitation. To God be the glory, and to Him be all honor and praise for His faithful servants, Caleb and Eric and Sue LaRue. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the encouragement of Your word. This morning, make us like Jesus and give us the characteristics, the qualities even of Caleb, whose faith never wavered, whose strength never weakened, whose life was one of complete victory, and whose blessings never went to waste. And we know, as we heard the secret, Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Lord, may that be our desire, and may even today be the turning point in the life of some of those who are listening, that God may turn their lives around. We ask this in Your name. Amen.